All right, Genesis 33. I titled this lesson, I Have Enough. I Have Enough. Both Esau and Jacob said, I have enough. But they did not mean the same thing. They didn't mean the same thing. We'll get to that at the end of the lesson. But let us look at a few things and learn from Jacob here. The first thing I want us to look at and to give attention to is Jacob's conduct before Esau. Here is a man who just wrestled with the Lord all night long. He wrestled with God. And the Lord changed his name to Israel because he said, as a prince hast thou power with God. You have power with God. And so the morning comes and it's time for Jacob to meet Esau. And the first thing Jacob does is he staggers his family. He puts the handmaidens and their children out front. Then he puts Leah, her children, after them. And then Rachel and Joseph behind. You can tell the love Jacob has. He's going to sacrifice the handmaidens first. If Esau comes and his intent is what Jacob thinks it is, he's going to sacrifice them first. And then if they get by him, then he'll sacrifice Leah and her kids first. And he's keeping Rachel and Joseph back. You know, that's his love is just so evident. He loved Rachel. But he puts them out there. Then he passes over to meet Esau. And what we will see here is we see great faith and little faith in the same person. In the same person. He just wrestled with the Lord. And he gained the blessing. I will not let you go till you bless me. And then turns around and he's still scared to death of Jacob. But I can identify with Jacob. How many times in your life as a believer have you gone to the Lord so troubled about something and gone away from there just as afraid as when you came? We've done it many times. We've been Jacob many times. I can see Jacob in me so much. Here we see great faith and little faith. David is an example. David kills Goliath by himself with a sling. He takes a sling and a smooth stone and he takes that giant down for defying the armies of Israel. For defying his God, he takes him down, and then he runs from Saul and hides in a cave. He's scared to death. What about Elijah? He stands before 400 prophets of Baal. Stands them face to face, stands them down, and then runs from Jezebel. Takes off and flies and gets in a cave and hides from Jezebel. I tell you, great faith and little faith are seen at the same time. And we're going to see this in the message after this, where Peter asked the Lord that he can come to him walking on water, and he does. And then at the same time, shortly thereafter, he starts to sink. It's amazing how fickle we are. I'm so glad salvation is all of grace. I'm telling you, not one of us would be there if it were not all of grace. And notice here in verse 3 what Jacob does. He does something I think is just unbecoming of a believer. And he passed over, that is, he passed over the brook before them, and he bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. This is the one wrestling with God. This is the prince. This is one whose name means prince. One who has power with God, and he's bowing himself 7 times. Now, it was a custom in that day to bow, but Bound once, you know, that's enough. Seven times, that's like a dog crawling to its master. That's what that's like. Bound seven times, just scraping and crawling to, he's crawling to Esau. This is the one who just asked God for mercy and for help and for deliverance. This is the one whom God gave the covenant to. This is the one whom God said, I will be with you. Let us walk according to our faith in God. Our God is God. Our God is God. He's not just one among many gods. He's the only God there is. And He's our God. He's our God. And Jacob bows himself seven times to Him. And Esau says to him, what do you mean by all this drove or band? And Jacob says this, that I might find grace in thy sight. Well, you know the definition of grace is unmerited favor. You can't buy unmerited favor. Jacob, just say what you're trying to do is you're trying to buy his favor. You're trying to appease Esau for what you did. That's what you're trying to do. He's trying to buy Esau's favor, not recognizing it is God who has power over the heart. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Esau's heart is in God's hands. He has the power over every heart. You know, in one place, God says concerning Israel, that not even a dog, he said, not even a dog will bark against you. Not even a dog will bark against you. He has the power and control over the tongue of a dog barking against his elect. And here Esau is trying to buy his brother's favor instead of trusting God, whom he just wrestled with, to control the heart of Esau, to control the whole situation. Do we really believe that God controls all things? Do I really believe that God controls absolutely every situation I'm in? Whether it's at work or wherever I'm at, does God control every situation? Well, I would to God, I would act like it. And I know I don't. I know I don't. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I believe God, but I tell you what, I'm sure not going to brag about how I believe God. I ought to believe God a whole lot more than I do. We ought to believe God a whole lot more than we do. We ought to believe God like Jesus Christ believed Him. We ought to. We ought to. We ought to be able to sleep on the back of the boat when the storm is raging. When the trial is hot and heavy, we should be able to, but we don't. And I understand that. That's because of sin. It's because of what we are by nature. We still have that. But I want to. I want to. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me to walk like I really believe you. Help me to conduct myself in faith. Help me to do that. In a way that's honoring to God. This is not honoring here. What Jacob is doing is not honoring. He's bowing and scraping, and he's calling him Lord. He's calling him Lord. Now, he's recognizing his brother, his eldership. He's recognizing that, but this is more than just, I think, recognition of his brothers being elder. This is just unbecoming of Jacob here to do what he's doing. Now Esau ready to embrace Jacob without the gifts because God changed his heart. God changed his heart. That's the gifts didn't change his heart. God did. A right fear of God will give us a right attitude toward men. A right fear of God will give us a right attitude in whatever situation we are in. A right fear of God. The scripture says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. When we fear man, we fear everything else. When we truly fear God, we fear nothing else and no one else. We're not arrogant about it. I'm not saying that. We're not arrogant about it. It's humbling. There is a true humility to the real fear of God. But we don't fear anything else when we have a proper fear of God. And notice something else here, and I'll get back to this. When Esau speaks of having enough, he does not give God any glory at all. You notice that? Esau said, "Brother, you keep what you have. I have enough." There in verse 9, Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. I don't need your cattle, your sheep, and these things that you're giving. I have enough." And there's a sense, I think, here where Esau is saying, "Look, Jacob, you haven't hurt me." You know, when Jacob was given the blessing, Esau was bent out of shape. He was bent out of shape. He said, "Is there not a blessing for me, Father? Is there not a blessing for me?" And now he's got all this. He's got 400 men with him, which I think is for a show. And he's got all this, all that he needs material-wise. He has it all. And he said, "Jacob, I'm fine, buddy. I have it all. I have enough. I have all this material gain. Look what I've gained. Look at my stuff." But now when Jacob says he has enough, when he speaks of that, every time Jacob said, "The Lord has been gracious to me." You see, he says there in verse 5, you know, that Esau asking about all these people here, that was all this drove stuff, and Jacob said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." These children that I have, God has graciously given them to me. He has graciously given them to me. Now look in verse 11. Jacob is urging Esau to take the present. He said, "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me." Esau never speaks of God at all. Esau never gave God one ounce of glory, of recognition for anything he possessed. Jacob said, "God has great," even though he's acting like he's acting, but still yet, he believes. Still yet, he's a believer. He's a believer. And he says, "Everything I have, God has graciously given me. I don't have anything that God hasn't given to me." That's what Paul said, asked the question he asked in the Corinthians. What do you have that you didn't receive? What do you have? What talent do you have? What intelligence do you have? What temporal blessing do you have that God Almighty didn't give it to you? You didn't come up with it. God gave it to you. And Jacob here says, "God graciously gave it to me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. God graciously gave it to me." But Jacob's still Jacob. He's still Jacob. You know, John's still John. Doug's still Doug. Aren't we? We're still sinners saved by grace. Because here, Esau offers to leave some men with Jacob. He offers to go before Jacob. He said, "I'll go before you and you come behind me." What he's saying is, "I'll take care of you, Jacob. I'll take care of you. Don't you worry. I'll protect you." And Jacob says, "No, that's okay." And Esau, "I'll leave some men with you." And he said, "No, you don't need to do that either." Because Jacob does not trust Esau. You can't trust an unbeliever. He doesn't trust Esau. And he says, "I tell you what, you go on to Seir, and I and the children will follow after you. We'll meet you there. We'll meet you there." And so Esau says, "Okay. All right, Jacob." So he takes off and leaves. And Jacob does not and has no intentions at that point of going back home. He takes off and he goes over to Sukkoth. He deceived his brother, lied to him again. He had no intentions of following him at all. And he turns aside to Sukkoth. God did not tell him to go there. Remember, he told him to go back to his father's house, to go back to Isaac, where Isaac was at, to go back there. He did not tell him to turn aside. Jacob turns aside still out of fear of Esau. He's still afraid of Esau. And he turns and he goes to Sukkoth. And when he goes there, he buys a piece of land. He builds a house. He builds booths for his cattle to take care of his cattle. And he settles down there. God didn't tell him to go. Now he erects an altar there, but God didn't tell him to do that either. It's not till chapter 35 when he tells Jacob, go home and go back to Bethel and there build an altar. He didn't tell him to do that here. And listen, because of this fear of Esau and turning aside, Jacob's life just gets in a mess. And then the sons of Jacob go and kill all those men of Shechem. They kill all those of Sukkoth there where they're at. I mean, it turns out to be a mess. And then God says, Jacob, in chapter 35, when we get there, he says, Jacob, go back to Bethel. That's where I told you to go to the first time. You turn aside out of fear, and look what a mess it turned into. And you go back there, and there you build an altar. There you build an altar. But to close with this, I want to look just for a few minutes at this statement. I have enough. I want to look at two things here. Esau says, I have enough. Esau looks at his material gain, and he's saying to Jacob, I don't need you to give me anything. I don't need anything of yours. I have all the cattle I need. I have all the servants I need. I have all the help I need. I don't need anything from you, Jacob. I have enough. But when Jacob says it, in the margin of my Bible here, when Jacob says it, it means this. Jacob says, I have enough. It means I have all things. That's what he's saying. I have all things. I have all temporal blessings by the grace of God. I have all spiritual blessings by the grace of God. The believer truly has enough. Do you have enough? I'm telling you, if you have Jesus Christ, you have enough. Now, you may not think you make enough. You say, well, if I can make more money, I can live more comfortable. God has given you and he's given to me all what you and I can handle. I heard Henry say one time, God has given us wisely. He has wisely given us what we need, what we can handle. Evidently, I can't handle anymore. He gives us what we can handle. He wisely distributes to his children. I have enough. I have enough wisdom. For Christ is my wisdom. I have enough righteousness. I don't need any more righteousness than what I have. I have enough. I don't even feel a need. Of course, I know self-righteousness raises its ugly head from time to time. But I don't have a need to add to it. I don't have a need to go do something, give something, so I can add to the righteousness of Christ. I have enough righteousness. I have enough redemption. The blood of Christ, the death of Christ is enough. I have enough sanctification. Having Christ is enough. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look in verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. All are yours. Life, it's yours in Christ. Death has no power over you. You have power over death in Christ. Things present, things to come, everything's yours. It's all yours in Christ. Whatever belongs to Jesus Christ belongs to us in Christ. What belongs to our head belongs to the body. I have enough. Let me ask you just a few questions here and I'll close. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is enough to appease God's justice? Do you believe that His death, that His obedience and His death is enough to appease the strict, strict justice of God to the very jot and tittle? Absolutely. If you believe God, you believe that Jesus Christ is enough. Is Christ's blood enough to wash away all my sins? I mean, secret sins, all my sins, right down to my thoughts. Is His blood enough? Is Christ's power enough to break the power of Satan and to raise me from the grave one day? To raise me out of the grave? You know, it won't be long. It just will not be long. And you and I, if the Lord doesn't come back, we're going to be 6 feet under. That's what we're going to have, 6 feet under. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ, His power is enough to bring me, to bring you out of that grave alive and present us before God spotless? Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's the greatest question of all. Is Jesus Christ enough for God? Can God require of me any more than Jesus Christ Himself? No. Jesus Christ is enough for God. And brethren, if He's enough for God, He's enough for me. He's enough. When Jacob said, I have enough. I have all things. I have all things in this life that I need. And I have all things in Christ to stand before God that I need. Every believer here has in Christ enough. I have enough. All right.